You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Good morning. This is your first time to church. I just want to say hello, warm welcome to you. My name is John, and together with my wife, Jenny, we have the privilege of serving as lead pastors here. And we just want to wish you a happy new year. And may you know God's grace and blessing and favor upon you in 2026. So over the next couple of weeks, I'm just going to share a little bit of vision with you as a church family, just to frame this year and our focus and emphasis. If I was to get some of you up here and blindfold you and spin you around and say, can you point to where north is? You'd all point in different directions. And the idea of the next couple of weeks is to get us all pointing in the same direction, to get us all pointing north. So let's just pray. Lord, thank you for your kindness, your attention to detail. Lord, thank you that you know every single one of us here inside out, intimately. Lord, you have plans and purposes for all of us. Holy Spirit, would you speak today to every single heart, to every single life, every single situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Farmers in the old prairie days used to prepare for winter, just like what we're experiencing now, the storms and the blizzards, but by putting up a rope between the house and the barn. And they knew, so even though it was just a brief distance, that from the walk from the house to the barn, that with such wintry conditions is that they could fall ill and even die. And so they had this rope, and the rope was used so they could always find their way home. In our nation, people are experiencing a kind of spiritual homelessness. They're experiencing the blizzards and the storms of life, the disorientating conditions, the competing voices. And this year, as a church in 2026, we want to provide rope for the church and our city so that people can come home. Come home to God, come home to family, to community, come home to their purpose and their story for their own lives. And the reality is in our nation right now, despite the spiritual homelessness, is that people are finding home in remarkable ways. Sir Niall Ferguson is an eminent leading historian, cultural commentator, was an atheist and recently became a Christian, and him and his wife got baptized. And in an interview, he said that people are so unhappy, and if people went to church and opened their hearts to Christ, they would be so much happier. And here's this leading historian. He also says this: I believe we're in the early stages of a Christian revival in the West. And we're seeing signs of this as a church community. We talked a lot about this last year. We reckon over 300 people in the last 12 months have given their lives to Christ through the various things that we've been doing as a church community. And we want to provide rope. First and foremost, for those who are discovering Christ in recent days and recent weeks. It's like, how do I navigate this Christian life? How do I navigate identity and relationships and purpose and my life's call? How do I follow Jesus in our culture and in our nation? And so we want to help people find Jesus and also help them to grow and multiply this year. And so if you're looking for a word of the year, which I know many of you came to church looking for, it is discipleship. This will be the pedal that we're pressing on this year as a church, discipleship. And I think one of the best definitions and interpretations of the idea of discipleship is in 1 Corinthians 11. And I want to give you two translations. The first translation is this: follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And secondly, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Discipleship is all about following Jesus so that we become like Jesus. It's a really simple model. Jesus changed the world through this strategy. I follow Jesus, and as I become like Jesus, I set an example for others to follow likewise, therefore fulfilling the Great Commission that we read about in Matthew 28. And discipleship is one of those words that I think has kind of gone out of fashion in the church, because we live in a world today which is all about consuming, and it's all about size, and it's all about popularity and what looks good. It's easy often in our world today to draw a crowd, or we can put something cool together. The church does this, whether that's with events or on social media, and it draws momentum, and we can turn out content and courses and preachers and music. And the reality is we have more information at our fingertips than any other generation previously. But here's my question, and I've been wrestling this, and I'm not sure I've got the answer. This is one of those ideas that I'm kind of like leaning into God as we go along, trying to work it out for myself. But I ask myself the question, are we stronger for it? And ultimately, and this is the goal of discipleship, are we more like Jesus because of it? So despite all the content and the information at our disposal, are we, as followers of Christ, more like him because of it? Here's what I know, looking at my life, following Christ for 30 plus years, is that the greatest influence on my discipleship, like if I was to think of a strategy, and it's the same strategy that Jesus had with the 12 disciples, the greatest influence on my discipleship is this verse. Is 1 Corinthians 11. Like, I have found people in my life and in my world and in my story who are following Jesus and becoming like him, and I'm like, hey, can I learn from you? As you imitate Christ, and I can see it in your life, the way you act, the way you speak, the way you do your life, can I get around that? And can I follow you as you follow Christ? And I'm going to be really honest today with, I think, the main reason why discipleship has fallen out of favor in the life of the church, has lost its focus, and the reason why, if we're honest, many of us don't commit to discipleship. And it's this, is if people are really going to follow me, if people are going to imitate me as I imitate Christ, I really need to be living in a way that people want to follow and imitate. And that's incredibly soul-searching. Like, the focus comes again on my own walk and discipleship. Like, am I living in such a way that inspires people to follow my kind of example? And that may mean dealing with a lot of the hidden stuff that stays hidden, because we know if we're calling people to come and follow us, then that stuff can't stand in our lives. So this involves some pretty major things which are massively countercultural. We have to be authentic. People are looking for the genuine article. You know, the emerging generation, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, they're not, we like the nice lights, we like the good music, we like good coffee, for sure. But actually, we're looking for authenticity. We're looking for vulnerability, for weakness, for honesty, for reality. And it's so easy in our culture that an image is projected of something that just isn't true. I'm a foodie. If I wasn't doing this, I'd be a food critic. And I like to follow influencers. In fact, I met an influencer over Christmas in Beverly, and I was pretty overwhelmed. And it was embarrassing for my wife, but I went up and spoke to him and chatted about all my favorite restaurants in Hull. But we went to London recently, and I like to kind of go through this list of my favorite pizza places and burgers that have become famous on TikTok and Insta. And you know what? Pretty much every single one bar one that I've had have been hugely disappointing. I can't believe this burger has millions of hits like on TikTok and Insta, and everyone's going on about it. It's so expensive. Like, give me a McDonald's cheeseburger any day, like for a pound. I'm very, very happy with that. But it made me think about discipleship and our culture and the church, is that so often we promise much but deliver so little. And there's nothing like drawing close to somebody. And I've had a number of people in my life and my story and my history who are so like Jesus. I start to think, this is the nearest I'll ever get to Jesus when he walked on the earth, because they just emanate him, his love, his fragrance, just his presence, just the way they live their lives, the values, the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, the patience, the faithfulness, the generosity, the meekness in their lives. And you think, wow, I feel like I've been around Jesus. It is the most inspiring thing to be around that. And it makes me think, I want to be that. I want to be that person to my family. I want to be that person to the church. I want to be that kind of person to my community. It's a very searching, challenging question for me to ask. In fact, if you're a leader in this church, for you to ask this question, the what if the church looked like you? Because that is the reality of discipleship. And it makes me like, wow, how is my character? How is my walk with Jesus? How am I treating people? What about my integrity? What about the detail of things? What about the small things that God says are really, really important? It's like we love to point the finger at people and at the world, but the reality is every time we point, there are three fingers pointing right back at us. This is discipleship. The effectiveness and the fruitfulness and the influence we have always comes back to how are we walking with Christ and following him in his ways and imitating him in every way of life. And so I'm going into 2026 primarily not thinking, how can I pray more and get on board with all that Josh talked about in terms of prayer culture in the church? How do I read my Bible more? How do I achieve more in terms of my calling? How do I love my family better? All those things are really important, but I'm not going into this year thinking about that. I'm keeping it very, very simple. I'm keeping this in front of me at all times. How can I look more like Jesus today? And the reality is that when we do that, we get everything else. It's easy to become overwhelmed in the first week of January with a whole list of things that you're committing to this year. I'd love to be able to do this, and I'd love to be able to attend that and get involved with this. I'd love to become a better person in maybe these areas of my life. But actually, what if we just brought it back to its simplicity of the Christian faith, which is actually, how do I follow Jesus in such a way that I begin to take on his likeness and conform to the image of Christ, is the greatest privilege and call and story for every single human being. And I find that when I commit to that, I need to pray. I need to be in the Word. I need to be thinking about how I treat people. Why? Because the ultimate goal is I want to be like him. And so when I think of the word of the year, it's discipleship, let me give you an axiom. I've been waiting 20 years to give, because the last time I could say this was in 2006, because that's the last time it rhymed, is there's no quick fix in 2026. I've been waiting 20 years to say that. We can't build a life of discipleship and be like Jesus overnight. That kind of transformation is a commitment to a marathon that will take your entire life. It's a whole life's body of work to become like Jesus. And I was pondering this, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, if the word of the year is discipleship, the church doesn't actually need a word of the year, they need a year of the word. Because if we're going to commit to discipleship and we know that there's no overnight quick fix answers, then actually we need a year of the word. Because to be biblical, to love the Bible, is at the heart of discipleship. And at the beginning of the year, don't we all have New Year's resolutions? We often obsess about our health and physical fitness and well-being and diet, but spiritual fitness and diet is more important. It is central to the health of our soul. Matthew says, the Gospel of Matthew says, do not fear those who can kill the body. Because to be good stewards of our bodies, because we are temples of the Holy Spirit, is important. We're not Gnostic in terms of a separation where we say the things of the material world are unimportant. No, it's all important to God. The body's important to God. What we do with our bodies is important to him. But what is of more importance is spiritual fitness of the soul. And doctrine and our love of the Bible trains us to know who we are and whose way we belong to in a world bombarded with competing scripts and so much noise that it leads to confusion. We have that beautiful picture in the Old Testament of the Israelites who for 40 years they were in the wilderness where the Lord taught them how does it look to live by faith. Now the church, we are the church, we are the people of God. The church, like Israel, is a set apart people with a set apart mission to proclaim and embody and inhabit the kingdom of God. And to use Augustine's image, the church is the city of God, and the purpose of this, the church, is to help each other. We're called to do this in the context of community with each other, to help each other live lives worthy of being citizens of the gospel, where we're being formed into a holy nation. That is Christ-likeness. The Spirit of God is forming us as a body of people into a holy nation. And therefore, if you've been a Christian any longer than 2 minutes, you will realize that this is not a cakewalk. That it is difficult and arduous. Because to follow the cruciform way of Jesus is to wander in the wilderness knowing our citizenship is in heaven. And theology and being biblically based teaches us how to live the blessed life, the good life, a joyful life in the wilderness, in exile. We are foreigners and strangers, pilgrims in this land, but we belong to heaven. And so as we live in the overlap of that, the tension of that, the now and the not yet of the kingdom, we need to be formed into Christ's likeness through the word. And the word of God, the Bible, it's like an eye doctor. It's constantly correcting the myopia of the local church. This is why the word is central to discipleship. You know, whenever I was poorly growing up, we all had meals that we can remember that we had when we were ill as a child. For me, it was a boiled egg with soldiers. Anybody remember a boiled egg with soldiers? Or a bowl of soup, maybe tomato soup, Heinz tomato soup, or some homemade chicken soup. Friends, the Bible is not merely meant to be some homemade chicken soup in times of trouble. When we're going through hard times, it's not, well, hey, I better just see what the Bible says to cheer me up here. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be our regular diet, where we know God and we know his ways, where we read this and we see that God is not our butler to serve our needs, but actually we are weaved into his grand story where King Jesus is on the throne and we are here to love and to worship and to serve him in all things. And so as we read God's word and we know of his ways, it then begins to influence every single part of our lives. You know, at the beginning of every year, in the longing for happiness, bettering ourselves, we make something called New Year's resolutions. And as I mentioned, it might be in the area of health or well-being. It could be in the area of hobbies or finances or relationships or traveling or lifestyle. And the reality is most of these things revolve around adding to our already busy lives. When you've thought about maybe how can I be happier this year in 2026, it's like, what things can I do or what things can I add to my life in order to make 2026 a great year? It's like, I want to achieve this, or I want more of that, or I want to increase in this area, or attend this, or knock this thing off my bucket list. A lot of that is really good stuff. But here's what I sense Jesus might be inviting us to in this year in terms of discipleship. The discipleship is more about reducing things than adding things. Like, if we can simplify our decisions, maybe, just maybe, we can multiply our actions and our fruitfulness for the gospel. I want to suggest to you this year, in the area of our discipleship culture as a community, that less is more. Our world and even the church has taught that, hey, get more content, do more courses, add more things into your life, and then you will achieve what you want to achieve. But I think at the heart of the Christian faith is this, is that actually it's an invitation to subtraction in your life. And I have found that I prosper and I flourish so much more when I have fewer things to concentrate and focus on in my life. Less is more. And it's so easy, isn't it, to get distracted with just a long list of things, and they could be good and noble and Christ-like things. I am determined to do more spiritual disciplines in my life. And the reality is, if that comes from the wrong place and the wrong heart, that becomes like righteous works all over again. It becomes a legalism. The call of Christ and the gospel is for freedom. Christians should be the freest people on earth. Freedom. And the way we get there is not by adding more to our lives, but actually, I think it's about doing less. Like, honestly, at the end of this year, will I look more like Jesus than I do right now? That has to be the driving force. Like, how is my patience? How is my pride? How is my anger? How's my emotional health? What about generosity? How do I respond to difficulty? When somebody falsely accuses you, do you ask this question, like, why is this bothering me so much? What is Christ doing in the formation of your soul in order to make you more like him? We think more content, courses, doing, formation equals greater fruitfulness and multiplication. Let me read to you from Luke 14. It's one of Jesus' most challenging texts on discipleship. It says this: large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Like, do you see here, the heart of being a disciple is quality, not quantity. It's carrying your cross. It's death to self, not adding more things to our lives. It's saying this, echoing in John 3, "Lord, may I decrease so that you increase." What a goal for 2026. Lord, may I decrease so that you increase. Freedom doesn't come from having more, it comes from needing less. It's about choosing less. And for too long, the church, I think, has prioritized function over formation. The Christian faith is often in the West predicated on transaction. But the cry of our hearts must be this year, Lord, we want to know you. This was the cry of Moses. He'd seen signs and wonders. We'd seen signs and wonders last year. We'll continue to see signs and wonders this year. But our hearts must cry out, Lord, we want more than that. What is greater than signs and wonders? Lord, show me your glory. What does it mean for God to reveal his glory? It's, Lord, I want to know who you are. I want to know your nature, your very being. I want to know you intimately. I want to know your ways. I want to know the great I am expressed in Christ by the Spirit. To know Jesus is the greater gift. I love the game of chess. And I'm confessing a lot today. I like to watch games of chess on YouTube. And back in the day, I was in a chess club at school. There was only me and one other guy, but it was our chess club. And the reality is, when you play chess, is there are thousands of moves and strategies to win the game. There's the famous fool's mate, which is a two-move strategy. But at the end of the day, when the game is over, the pieces go back on the board. And the pieces go back on the board in the right place so that we can start the game again. And we may have this strategy and that strategy. How do we do discipleship? And I'm wrestling with this. How do we do discipleship in our culture, in our context? But at the end of the day, the chess pieces go back where they started. And the king and queen, if you like, we can't graduate from this. We can't do better than this. Is always going to be the Bible and prayer. It always comes back to that. If I'm reading my Bible and I'm involved in praying individually and corporately, the reality is that is at the heart of all discipleship. It is the heart of all formation. It is the heart of all becoming like Christ. And from that, we can then help other people become like Jesus. So I just want to close with a real practical thing. Is if you want to be discipled this year, if you want to become like Jesus and you want to help others become like Jesus, let me encourage you to set your tools out ahead of time. Procrastination isn't about effort, it's about design. Let me encourage you to get a Bible in 1 year. Many people do it on an app. I find that too distracting with other things on my phone. So I have two Bibles in 1 year. I have one at home and I have one at the office. In case I forget to do my reading at home, I can then do it at the office. And what I find is if I set my environment and have my tools in the right place, phone gone, Bible out, prayer meeting in the diary, notebook open, the reality is when your environment is ready, your brain kicks into gear a lot quicker. And you allow procrastination and distraction not to have its way in your life. So I can encourage you this week just to be thinking about these things. Think about discipleship. Think about what is your vision and your strategy to become like Jesus and to help other people become like Jesus in 2026.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.